everyone, and welcome to The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus and adopting his practices amidst our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. My name is Jonathan Moynihan. I'm your host, and I'm coming to you from just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. But as we dive into our episode today, we have to begin with a quote from the great Henry Nouwen. He says, "Our first and foremost task is faithfully to care for the inward fire so that when it is really needed, it can offer warmth and light to lost travelers." And today's episode is birthed partially from that concern that as we grow and mature in our ability to stir up and maintain the inward life of faith, that from this place we have to do that work so that we can make a bigger difference and more felt difference out in the world around us. It's this idea that by adopting the practices and the lifestyle of Jesus, by rhythmically resting with God, as we talk about so often in the show, that we then, having taken care of this inward life constantly, we can then deeply engage the world around us and make a difference. Now, if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's interview with Sherry Marbois, I highly recommend it because she's brilliant. She is so approachable in some deep and thoughtful things that she deals with as she talks about, you know, soul work and all sorts of important things. It's also really interesting because she basically like counseled me on the show, like I was not ready for it. So when she paused the interview and was like, "Hey, can I just ask you a question real quick?" I was freaking out on the inside because I was like, "No, I don't know where this is going." And it was really, really scary, but it was really, really great. So if you haven't listened to that, I'd really encourage you to do so. But the second reason I really want you to go back and listen to it is because it kind of sets up our conversation for today. Because in that episode, I got open and talked about my struggles with being distracted. Now, I'm not diagnosed with ADD or anything like that, but I'm definitely someone whose brain doesn't know how to turn off. Like, it just races all the time. I was even venting to Stephanie, my wife, last week about how I sat down to pray and prepare my heart for preaching at an upcoming college ministry retreat. But then I got sidetracked thinking about the Ravens game I was going to the next day. And then I whipped up my phone real quick to see if anyone commented on some post I made, because that's just super mature. And then before you know it, 30 minutes have gone by. I'm scrolling on my phone. I'm looking at sports news and I'm checking Instagram and all that stuff. And instead of preparing my heart and soul for this upcoming, you know, spiritually significant retreat I'm about to speak at, I've wasted 30 minutes of my time just being completely distracted. And when I told my wife this, the first thing she said was, "Hey, you need to share that because people think like you're an expert and you never get distracted on the podcast." And I was like, "Yeah, that's not true." So this is me owning to you. I am totally a mess when it comes to being distracted. I definitely struggle with distractions and boredom and the racing of my mind. I mean, even as a side note, like when I went and lived at a monastery for almost 4 days in October of 2020, so a year ago. And let me tell you, you wouldn't believe some of the places my mind went when I was in absolute silence, removed from all stimulation, no human interaction really, outside of getting some food through this like plastic shield. I mean, you would be shocked at some of the places my brain went. Maybe that'd be an interesting episode. I don't know. Like four things I learned from staying 4 days at a monastery. If that interests you, DM me, contact me at the website, jonathanmoynihan.com. You could comment on the show notes. I'd love to hear if talking about the monastery more would be interesting for you or if you're thinking about it. So let me know. But the truth is, distractions are a huge issue for me. And as that got exposed in last week's episode, just kind of publicly, and as I'm owning that more and more here now, I've been reflecting on it over since that interview, which is a couple weeks ago, and really kind of thinking about it more in my own prayer life. And I'm starting to see that being distracted itself isn't like the big threat against our spiritual growth, but it is in fact how we respond to ourselves when we are distracted. That is probably a greater indication of how mature we've become in this journey of adopting the monastic ancient practices of Jesus to help us combat the modern problems of our world. And as I wrestled with this, I found myself listening to a conversation with this great pastor up in Queens, New York, named Rich Velotis. And in that interview, I was listening to him talk about his own struggles with distraction, and it resonated with me so much. And it resonated with me so much that it like hurt, you know, like in a good way. Like as he talked, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is so real. This is so true." And I just started to explore internally over the last couple weeks how distractions have begun to shift for me away from being a thing that used to knock me down a peg on my spiritual scale, which is problematic in and of itself, but they've become something different. They've become an opportunity that helps me lean in with my time with God instead of making me feel like I need to lean back or lean out because I'm not holy enough or something like that. And so I want to explore this idea with you a little bit as it's been helpful for me as I wrestle with my own ADD tendencies, as I navigate my own versions of spiritual regression or whatever, when I feel like silence and withdrawal is harder than it was a year ago and I start to beat myself up because I'm not as mature as I thought I would be. But something Rich points out and something that kind of leapt off the page for me in Scripture not too long ago is this idea that there is an opportunity of the divine in the distractions that we have, and that by reframing the way you and I view ourselves and the way we view God in those moments of significant distraction, this could be something very formative for you and I as we constantly start to evaluate or continue to evaluate, you know, am I doing this wrong? Why am I not good at this yet? Why am I still so distracted? So that's the problem I want to solve today. I want to kind of look at the divinity of distraction in our ADD world. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, I was reflecting on this more and more, and I was reading through Genesis 3. And I was looking at the moment when Adam and Eve get essentially exposed by sin. They're exposed of their nakedness. They get exposed as having disobeyed God. And I'd imagine most of you know this story. You know, God tells them not to eat. He creates Adam and Eve. He tells them not to eat from the tree in the center of the garden. They go ahead and do it. And then what happens next is the thing that really got my attention as I kind of wrestled with my own distracted state. Because after this cataclysmic moment of disobedience and this traumatic deconstruction of like the destiny of all humanity where sin enters in the world, I looked and reflected on what the first thing God says after this awful cataclysmic moment happens. And look at this. It's Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10. This is after they've eaten the fruit. It says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden." One, I just have so many questions, like how incredible that must have been, that, like the cool evening breeze and to hear God walking about in the garden. Like, what was that like? Was it like a T-Rex walking and the whole ground is shaking? Like, I don't know. But it says that they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then watch this. "Then the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?' He replied," Adam did, "'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" And there's a bunch of different directions we could go in Genesis 3, because it's just so rich. There's so much in there. But what jumps out to me in this conversation is the fact God knew what had happened because he's God. He knew their sin had just separated his creation from himself, that the course of their existence had then shifted away from his desired outcome of a loving, open, free-willed-based relationship of love, an opportunity, and their relationship had now shifted away from that, and now they were destined for generations of sin and death and brokenness because sin had entered the world. But what jumps out at me is that the first thing out of God's mouth when this happens isn't, "How dare you?" It's not, "What did I say?" It's not, "What's wrong with you?" The thing God says right after this happens in Genesis 3 is, "Where are you?" In this moment, there's an invitation from God to Adam and Eve to make themselves known in the relationship. He invites them to engage, to respond, to present themselves back to their heavenly Father despite this traumatic disobedience. And again, God knew where they were. God knew what had happened. He doesn't ask this question out of scarcity or limited information. He does it because from the beginning, his primary concern, as it was when he created man and woman, his primary concern is the relationship he has with each of them. And the reason that this text jumps out at me as I've navigated this tension of distractions and listened and learned from Rich Velotis The reason I think all this matters, as you and I navigate contemplative prayer and centering ourselves with God and learning how to slow down and let God do the deep restorative work within us through silence and solitude and Sabbath, the reason all this matters is because, like you saw in last week's episode, if you watched it, in the times I get distracted and I don't follow through in discipline, the temptation is to grade ourselves or beat ourselves down for being distracted. But what we see from God is not that demeanor or not that nature, and certainly his character is not one where he comes in after failure and comes at us with that type of energy. And what Rich Velotis pointed out in that interview I was watching was that being distracted doesn't mean you lack maturity, it just means you're human. And when Rich said that, it was a game changer for me, because he went on to discuss how the mature believer, being rooted in the love of God and knowing God's desire for a relationship with him or her, knowing that that is valid and true and right because of the cross of Jesus, from freedom, from knowing about God and knowing about his character, the follower of Jesus can let 50 distractions interrupt him or her during a span of prayer, but then realize those 50 distractions are actually 50 opportunities to turn back to God and say, "Here I am." And when I heard that, it really began a work that God has been doing over the last few weeks of setting me free from judging myself based on distractions. To think that when I sit to be still with Jesus for just a few minutes, that if I'm distracted 10 times in the span of 3 minutes, I don't beat myself up for those 10 times. I realize those are 10 moments to turn back to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I fix my eyes on you." There are 10 different opportunities for me to step into the garden when I feel some shame, even though God doesn't put that on me now through Christ. And I say, "Here I am, I'm back, and I'm turning myself to you." And just that little mindset shift doesn't mean we don't get distracted, but it changes how we respond when we get distracted. So instead of saying, "I got off track like 5 times in my time with God this morning," we can say, "I actually turned back to Jesus 5 times with God this morning." And I don't think I'm crazy when, and I don't think Rich is crazy when we suggest that this should be our posture in our time with the Lord, because when God could have been at his most wrathful, when he could have just wiped the slate clean and started over with a different Adam and Eve, knowing that everything he wanted to have with his creation is now had been shifted because of sin entering the world, when he could have been his most angry and most wrathful, his first response was, "Where are you?" He invited them to respond back, to turn back to him. And even though there were consequences for their sin, which by God's grace and power and might, the cross of Jesus overcomes the consequence of our sin, we see something in this moment about the character and nature of God that gives us comfort, that from that place enables us to show ourselves grace when we fall short in times with him. So here's my big idea today, and it's not even mine. It's to let the distractions that inevitably occur in your time with God be moments, divine moments, where you can turn back to God and say, "Yes, I choose you. Here I am." In my own life, as my kids wake up or my phone goes off or there's construction outside or I just sleep in too much and all these little distractions pile up, I've tried to make every single one a moment to say, "Jesus, I still choose you. Jesus, here I am. God, here I am." So then at the end of my morning, I'm not tracking the number of times I got off track. I'm looking at the number of times I said yes to Jesus and turned back to him. I think this is a radical shift that could be really helpful for us in those moments when we feel like we're doing it wrong, or we feel like we're not deep or not spiritually mature, and realize the wisest thing we could ever do is to fall back into the arms of Jesus and say, "Yes, I choose you. Here I am, even when I fall short," because the grace of Jesus covers us and gives us safety and freedom as we approach the God who loves us, who is the creator of all, but he gave up all for you and me, so that just through faith we could be with him. So that's your homework. Your homework is this week, as you connect with God and you pray and you try to work on being silent and still and slowing the pace of your life so you can adopt the practices of Jesus, to track not how many times you get distracted, but to celebrate how many times did you turn back to the cross? How many times did you say, "God, here I am, And they may be really quick moments. They may be 10 minutes of distraction where you bring yourself back. And celebrate that, because I believe God does. That's his nature. That's his character. And we have that freedom because of Jesus. So that's pretty much it. I would encourage you to look for the divine power of distractions in your ADD world and just reframe and rethink the ways in which you and I grade each other, because we don't need to do that, as Sherry pointed out in last week's episode and as I think we're continually learning together here on the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope this helps you, sets you free a little bit. Remember, I'm not the expert. I'm just trying to be a guide to help us all grow in these powerful lifestyle practices of Jesus. As always, you can hit me up on social media, on Instagram specifically, jonathan.moynihan, or you can contact me on my website, jonathanmoynihan.com. But I hope this finds you well, and I'll talk to you guys again next week.